Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Yes, sir. You're listening to Clint Sterner and my man, Smitty. My man, Wade Smith, 12-year NFL vet. And it is 5 o'clock, H-Town. I know the weather out there might have you down. But, hey, look, you're headed home. You're looking down the highway. Buckle up and turn it up. And just hear about the biggest stories of the day in pro sports right here in Houston. There's a bunch of them. The Astros are in the process of finalizing a deal to make Dusty Baker, long-time Major League Baseball manager, the manager for the Houston Astros. The Astros got this one right. All things considered, Wade, the Astros got this one right here right. Adversity, this guy's been through it. He's long in the tooth. He stood up to the media in several different big markets as the face of several organizations, and he's led organizations back from struggles. He's led them through adverse times. And I believe, Wade, I just firmly believe that Dusty Baker is the right guy for the Houston Astros. When you talk about who do you want in this particular time, all things considered, in this particular times, with what the Astros are going through, with what this organization consists of right now, who do you want getting off the bus first? Who do you want addressing the media first? You want a guy that they all love, right? Yeah. You want a guy that's been through the adversity. You talk about adversity. Giants, the San Francisco Giants and Bonds and the steroids, the Cubs and Bartman and all these different issues that he's dealt with in his career. This is a great hire. All things considered, what's going on in Houston, brother?
Yeah, Dusty Baker is a fixer. He's one of those guys that when you have a terrible situation going on, he's a guy that you bring in to help right the ship. And I think that's what he's doing, and that's what he's going to do. And a lot of people have been hearing feedback from the text line. People are kind of low or they're down on Dusty Baker because of his propensity to not use analytics. But I find it very, very difficult to believe that the Houston Astros, based off of the comments by Jim Crane earlier when they let go of Luno and Hinch, he said we have a system in place. When he's talking about the way that they scout things, the way they utilize analytics, I have find it very hard to believe that Dusty Baker would even be considered if he wasn't going to be willing to fall in line and do those similar things as far as what the way the Astros have done them in the past using analytics. I really feel like Dusty Baker is a home run. He knocks it out of the park because what he can do in the clubhouse as far as managing personalities, being a guy that people can come to, talk to. A lot of being a manager in Major League Baseball is relationships and getting guys mentally to be at their best. And so Dusty Baker is great at that. And then you also couple it with the fact that, listen, he's going to be able to take everything head on when it comes to national media, when it comes to fans that are going to have to deal with on the road. Dusty Baker is the right guy for the job, and he's not going to be here for a long time.
Yeah.
You got a guy that's going to be here for a couple years at the longest. This is during your window when you know for a fact you're going to have the talent on your roster to win a World Series. This is the type of guy you need in here so that you can utilize that talent and you can get the best out of that talent right now. And then you can find your manager for the long term going forward. But right now, Dusty Baker is the guy for the job.
Wait, these are extreme adverse times in the Houston Astros organization. Dusty Baker's been through extreme adversity, right?
Yeah.
This is an organization that's ready to win now from a talent perspective. And Dusty Baker is a very motivated manager in the game of baseball. He's 70 years old. He sees a light at the end of the tunnel. Doesn't know how much time he's got left. He has not won a World Series. It's the only box left for him to check in his career to get him to that Hall of Fame. I mean, the motivation's there, the experience is there. I just believe that the Astros, all things considered, they got this one right here, right. Wade, also, the Houston Texans. The Houston Texans, they made it official. Cal McNair released a statement. Bill O'Brien is officially the general manager of your Houston Texans. So when you look at it, general manager, head coach, offensive coordinator, Bill O'Brien wears three hats. The presumptive power that Bill O'Brien has in this organization continues to grow, and it was made official today by Cal McNair, the owner of the Houston Texans.
Yeah, as told to John McClain, he broke the news first on his Twitter page and let it be known that Bill O'Brien is now the general manager. And I would hope that Bill O'Brien's first action as a general manager is to strip the offensive coordinator of the play calling duties. I think if that happens, yeah, a lot of people will be a little bit more excited about what's going on over there at NRG, because to me, that's the issue. Bill O'Brien, the GM, the job that he did over the past 8-9 months as far as a talent acquisition, I think he's done a hell of a job at that. I think that the talent on this roster is so much better than what it was even this first week of preseason. I mean, the first week of training camp. The roster has improved tremendously over that time period, and so you got to give credit where credit is due. And so if you do a good job of bringing in talent, then I'm all for that. If you do a good job of taking care of contracts on people that need to be taken care of, talking about Whitney Mercilus, I'm all for that. If you're going to switch it up to way you do things as far as, all right, in the past, we don't do contracts during the regular season, and we're not going to bring in a bunch of first-round talent guys that are supposedly issues, character issues in other places. We're going to bring in those type of guys because it's always been the running thing over in Houston is that people say there's nothing but Boy Scouts over there. There's nothing but guys that are, top flight PR type worker guys bees. that you want on your roster. When he went out there and brought in some guys that had some questionable issues, what were going on at their old ball clubs, but he got some production out of them, out of Conley and out of Hargraves. And so that part of it, I'm for. I don't have any problem with that at all.
Yeah, what do you say to this, Wade? Because I 100% agree with you. I just want to push your button here. Talk about the GM part of this thing.
Yeah.
A lot of feedback on the Clowney deal. How can you say that when you let Clowney go for nothing? What do you say in response to that?
So the Clowney deal was terrible. But the problem with the whole situation is whatever was done previous to, like, while Brian Gain was still the GM, that put the Texans in a situation that you had to let Jadeveon Clowney go. Same thing is with how you had to make that deal for Laremy Tunsil. The fact that you did not have a left tackle in the fold, those are things that you say, and people would be like, well, Bill O'Brien said all along that he had control or he had input in all of those situations. Sure. But now the clock has started. It's officially started. Yeah, by Cal McNair announcing that he's the GM, that Bill O'Brien is a GM, now the clock has officially started. Now you can hold specific people accountable for specific things. If something goes wrong with personnel acquisition or something goes wrong with the contract being done, you can say Bill O'Brien messed that up. Same thing, if something goes right, you can say Bill O'Brien is the reason why that person came in or whatever worked out. And anytime you can have more transparency, I'm for it. And I'm also for the idea of now I know that the clock has started. And so that's what I was trying to tell people last week when we were on there. There's like, listen, you have to recalibrate your timing and your timeline on what's going on over there at NRG. Then you can watch the Texans and understand where they're at with things. Although that yourself, you might not be there. If you could switch that up in your thought process, now you can look at it for what it is and not be up so upset about what's going on. You can disagree with it. You can agree with it. I totally understand you not liking it or not wanting things to be how they are. But now that you know how they are, now you can govern yourself accordingly.
Yeah, and we'll dig into that, Wade. We got a couple more segments left today where we can dig into a little bit more Dusty Baker and a little bit more Bill O'Brien. What does he have up next, Wade? But today, man, look, I know it's a big day. I know there's smoke over off Kirby. There's smoke over in Minute Maid. But damn it, them Rockets and my boy Eric Gordon, I told you that's the straw that stirs the drink. I mean, he goes in there. They go to Utah last night, Wade. Utah was the hottest team in the league since Christmas. The hottest team in the league since Christmas. They'd won 19 of 21. They'd only lost three games at home in Utah. The Rockets go in there literally half-cocked, right? They go in there with no Harden, no Westbrook, no Capella. I mean, as you mentioned earlier, they were 12.5-point dogs, and they go in there and shock the world in Utah. It's a mid-season game, mid-season NBA. There's a bunch of games. It's like baseball. There's so many games. Each single game doesn't necessarily mean as much as the next. But when it's all said and done, that was a hell of a performance last night for the Rockets, and in particular, Eric Gordon.
Yeah, it was good to see Eric Gordon get the opportunity to go out there and just fully shine. You take James Harden and you take Russell Westbrook out of the fold, you know that he's going to get plenty of shots, and he puts them down. He's the type of guy he's a guy that gets you buckets for years now in the NBA, and so he got his opportunity. He took advantage of it. I like the way that the offense moved. I like the way that the spacing and their ability to get open looks by moving the ball around, and that's something that I hope going forward that James Harden and Russell Westbrook see that and say, hey, you know, let's make sure that we are focusing on keeping this going forward when we are actually back on the court. Because if the Rockets can play a game to where they utilize more ball movement, to where the game is not as slowed down as it's stagnant, then their offense is just that much more efficient and productive, and they can go on a long playoff run.
Wade, check it out. As if I know Westbrook was in the mix. Westbrook was stoked up last night on the floor, but here's the deal. If Harden and Capella and Westbrook weren't all paying attention to the game and how things were going, Gordon left him a little sound bite after the game about that movement on the offensive side.
We just played our game. You know, when you play within the flow of the game, you're going to get good shots, and everybody contributed, and that's why it made things a lot easier.
Made things a lot easier. Everybody contributing, had good flow, talking about playing within that offense. Look, the only thing the Rockets didn't do well last night was shoot free throws. I mean, Gordon was 14 of 22 from the field. He was 6 of 11 from the three-point line. My dude put up 50, half a 100. He put up 50 last night. Daniel House Jr., 21. Austin Rivers, 21. I just think there was a lesson to be learned last night for the Rockets as they watched the game. The guys that were injured watched what was possible. And I don't want to make too much of one game. It's one game midseason. It was Utah. Utah's not L.A. Either one of the L.A.'s. They're not Milwaukee. They're not necessarily one of those that you're going to put the trophy on the mantle, but they're definitely a game that should be starred, and this team should take something from it.
Yeah, they're a good basketball team, and they're damn good at home. And so their ability to go on the road and win a ball game when nobody had any inkling that they'd be able to even compete in that game, there's something to be said for that. And that small ball lineup, hopefully that's something that they can utilize in small spurts in various ball games in the future, because – it's something that teams are not used to seeing out of the Rockets. And anytime you switch it up and you can be effective by switching up your lineup, that's something that you can utilize. And so that was a good performance, like I said, but it's one game. We'll see what happens going forward with the Rockets. The most important thing is, can James Harden and Russell Westbrook come back from their injuries or their time off and be just as productive with moving the ball and keeping the offense not stagnant and moving?
Bill O'Brien is officially, not that it changes much about what's been going on over there off Kirby, no doubt about it. Bill O'Brien's been calling the shots, but he is officially the general manager, the GM of the Houston Texans. There's a couple of Brinks trucks that are backing up over there as we speak. We'll talk about two contracts that should be heavily in the works, literally as we speak right now, next on Sports Radio 610. Yes, sir. Joined by Smitty, Wade Smith, 12-year NFL vet, former Houston Texans offensive lineman. It's official. The Texans have given Bill O'Brien the general manager's title, and they've promoted executive vice president of team development, Jack Easterby, to executive vice president of football operations. That's Bill O'Brien, your GM, Jack Easterby, the executive VP of football operations. What does that mean? That means that absolutely nothing changes over off Kirby for the Houston Texans. They've been operating this way for 8 months now, and it's just making a couple of things official. Wade, where do you You know what, man? I'm going off script here a little
bit. Okay, what's up, man? What's up?
What? Like, when I'm driving around listening, I hear a lot of talk about Easterby and Casserly and all these. I mean, and I don't mean, like, Olsen, obviously, 13 years. You
mean Casario?
Who'd I say?
You said Casserly.
Well, hell, Casserly,
too. That's a throwback,
I don't want to hear nothing from him, man, after his talks about Kyler Murray. But nonetheless, Casario, yeah, that's who I was talking about. The point is you can put – there's a blank. Fill in whatever name you want outside of Bill O'Brien and the coaching staff.
Yeah.
Like, do you need to know about Jack Easterby? I mean, do you care?
You need to know about him if you want to hold people accountable for what went right and what went wrong. So that's why I'm glad that they went on and just established, like, this is the hierarchy and this is what it is. From that perspective, if you're a fan and you pay attention to the ins and outs and the inner workings and you want to know, you know, why a decision was made to bring in this player and why you decided to pay that player, and it's important to know the distinction. But if you're just a casual fan and you don't really care that much about it, all that stuff doesn't matter. You want to see the finished product on the field and see, all right, I want to see Deshaun Watson playing at his best. I want to see the offense being a top five offense in the league and scoring a bunch of points and not having slow starts. And that's what you want to see if you're a fan at that level of fandom.
Yeah, I could care less outside of like with the Astros, right? I mean, like, the GM is important because it's obvious that a GM can be a guy that believes heavy in analytics or a guy that doesn't necessarily believe as heavy. You know, that can sway your organization, right?
Yeah.
The GM in football has ultimately a lot of say-so. They hold a lot of guys accountable. In a typical situation, they would hold a lot of guys accountable. And so I can understand that. But when we get to talking about, like, the panel and all these different guys on the panel. Sure, Wade, I do. I want guys to be held accountable, and I want contracts to get done, and I want them to have an identity and all. But I could care less who those guys are. I mean,
I think that's the player in you. Because when we played, we didn't care about what went on upstairs.
Do you think the fan base gives a rip about that?
I think some do. I think a lot of them do. I think a lot of them it depends on what we're talking about. Are we talking about our listeners? I think our listeners for sure care about that. I think there's a lot of people out there that are fans of the Texans that aren't sports radio, you know, listeners, that are casual fans, that they wouldn't care. But I think people that listen to our show, they care about that stuff because our listeners are smart. You know, our listeners are, they care about the inner workings of the organization. They want to figure out why things are the way they are, why things work positively and why things are going wrong. And they want to be able to point to X, Y, and Z of this is why it happened. So it all depends on who you're talking about.
Yeah, here's my deal, man, is when I hear, like, I don't know why I even went off on that tangent, but I just heard, like, I heard myself say Bill O'Brien, GM, and Jack Easterby, VP of football operations. And I'm just like, Bill O'Brien, we said it a million times, Bill O'Brien's backed himself into a corner, and even more so with this official title, to where it's all going to come down on him. It don't matter. It don't matter who in the hell Jack Easterby is or anybody else is or what they're doing. If it don't work, if anybody shapes their mouth in any way, shape, or form to say anything other than Bill O'Brien, then they're crazy.
But listen, what person wouldn't want that position in life?
Well,
to where I could put myself in a position.
Oh, I thought you meant the EVP that nobody cares about.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Bill O'Brien. He's backed himself into a corner where the buck starts with stopping him. That's what you want. Unless you are a beta male, you know what I mean? You're scared of that responsibility or whatever. But if you have an opportunity to put yourself in a situation to where you control what goes on day in and day out, and the buck stops with you, and if you fail, it's because I made a mistake because of a decision I made.
Yeah.
I can live with that. You know what I mean? It's completely different when you're depending on so many other people and other factors in order to be success that their power in the organization is above yours. And so you're having to wait to what they decide in order to make things happen. So he's painted himself into a corner, but Albert Breer has a tweet on here, and I read the tweet and I was like, damn, I didn't even think about it this way. It said, Houston's Bill O'Brien today became the only coach in the NFL to carry a general manager title. Like, Bill O'Brien is the only head coach right now in the NFL that is also the GM, officially has that official title. And who would have thought that that would have been the case 6 months ago, 2 months ago, you know? A year ago, 2-3 years ago, that the Houston Texans are the only organization in the NFL that has a head coach and GM, and they're one and the same person.
Yeah, look, my response.
What's that?
Go hire an OC, and I'm in, baby. I'm in your corner, baby. I'm in the pilot. I'm in the co-pilot seat with you, Billy O. Just get that OC, and let Deshaun eat.
Does it matter who the OC is though? Kelly, you're
the
OC.
You know the answer to that, damn
it. I want to hear you say that. What's the answer to that?
You know damn good and well the answer to that's going to be hell. No, I don't want your GA from – I don't want the guy that you brought up from a GA from Penn State and that you groomed him. No, we just had – what was my man's name? We just had Grant Paulson on, and he's talking about Dusty Baker. And Dusty Baker, and when the game's on the line – And it matters the most. What's he gonna do? He's gonna go back to his gut. What cloth is he cut from? What's his DNA? What's running through his veins? Right? Is it analytics or is it the old school way of playing ball?
Yeah.
That's and I don't know that I necessarily agree with that, but that's coaches, man, and that's the struggle that we see with Bill O'Brien and Deshaun Watson. That to me, that's the biggest struggle with this organization. Is you see Deshaun Watson's got a certain skill set, and you've got an offensive coordinator that calls the plays, ultimately is responsible for the schemes and the approach of the identity of what you're doing, and they don't match up. So you're struggling. There's some good, there's some bad. You're trying to gel. You're trying to get on the same page. But when it comes cutting time and you need a play, what have you been going to since you started coaching in your early 30s or late 20s?
Yeah.
Right? It's just human nature to go back to what it is that you do, and I just think that's what has to change. Nonetheless.
Hey, Clint, that being said, I find it very hard to believe that he would just go a different route. I find it very hard to believe that Tim Kelly's not going to be the offensive coordinator going forward. So with that being said, it's going to be some consternation going around here going forward for the future because I just find that hard to believe. Like you said, people don't change. People are who they are. And so for you to tell me that a guy that you groomed since, like you said, from a GA, and now you have the opportunity to for sure, and everybody knows you can decide who's going to be calling plays, and you're going to give it to somebody else, and you're going to bring somebody from the outside in, I just find that hard to believe. It's Tim Kelly's time. So that's what I think is going to end up happening.
Oh, man. Gosh, I hope I'm wrong. Well, look, here's the deal, man. When it's all said and done, I've alluded to this twice. You got Laramie Tunsil's got a Brinks truck backed up to NRG Stadium over there.
It's coming.
And there's one out there in the street waiting for Laramie Tunsil to get his truck to get the hell out of the way so Deshaun can back his Brinks truck. There ain't room
Deshaun
for two of them.
Deshaun's going to need about two or three, bro. He's going to need about two or three Brinks trucks. One ain't going to get it.
Man, I tell you, the Laramie Tunsil deal, man, it's going to be a market-setting deal. You're talking about 4 years, $76 million extension. It'll make him the highest-paid offensive tackle in the league. That's all. Obviously, it's speculative. It's Texans cap. He's projecting. Yeah, I saw it. I know. He's projecting that 4 year, $76 million market-setting, highest-paid offensive tackle deal in the league for Laramie Tunsil. I'm not going to run down all these numbers of guaranteed money and stuff, Wade. It's just here's the deal. Is clearly that's what the GM, Bill O'Brien, has to be working on as we speak. But this is precisely what you made the trade for. This team desperately needed an anchor at the offensive line position. It just so happened to be that a young, arguably the best young left tackle in this league, became available at the right time. You went and got him, and I think it's an absolute lock to make him the highest paid left tackle in this league.
Yeah, first and foremost, if you give up two first-round draft picks for a player, you got to pay that player because then you look like a complete fool if you can't get a deal done with that guy that you brought in. And so Tunsil was going to be the highest-paid left tackle for probably 2 to 6, maybe 8 weeks before Ronnie Stanley gets paid right after that. And so him being the highest-paid left tackle in the history of the league, that's just something that's going to happen each and every time whoever the top guy is on the market gets paid. And he earns it. You know, Laramie Tunsil was a guy that should be paid at that level. He's going to get that market value. I would have loved for been a situation to where they brought in Trent Brown last offseason, paid him 4 years and $66 million, saved two first-round draft picks, and then been able to go into this draft, improve your defense with those two draft picks. But, hey, it didn't happen that way. You got Laremy Tunsil now. He had a hell of a season. Voted to the Pro Bowl, voted Sporting News all first team by head coaches, 32 head coaches in the NFL. So you got to pay that guy, and they're going to pay him.
Hey, wait, that's I think that's about the fifth drive-by on Bill.
How's the drive-by?
Didn't you just mention what should have happened?
I mentioned what should have happened, yeah, but he wasn't the GM then. It was Brian Gaines.
It was Brian Gaines. Drive-by on NRG.
I'm not going to drive by Bill O'Brien. I'm going to be like, yeah, you messed that up. when I be like, yeah, you tricked that off. Now we can actually say that because he is the GM. It ain't a committee. He's the GM.
Right, you're right. Texans cap is projecting Watson to get, this is Sean Watson, obviously Texans quarterback, to get a 5-year deal worth $190 million in new money. I said $190 million, Wade Smith. That's $38 million per in new cash. Russell Wilson right now is at 35. That 38 would take the lead, I believe.
It'll take the lead, and then Pat's going to come right behind him and probably get 40. But this is the thing. Since Bill O'Brien is the GM now, I find it hard to believe that these deals aren't going to get done sooner than later. Bill O'Brien just strikes me as the type of guy that's like, hey, let's make the trade, let's make the deal, and then let's go forward. Let's lock it up. So I think those guys are going to set the market, Tunsil and Watson, and then you can see guys – fall in line.
But Wade, he's got too many false starts, man. What the hell, Wade? Come on, man.
False starts. Come on, bro. Come on, bro.
The Houston Astros, baby. The Houston Astros. I'm hoping they ink this deal with Dusty Baker before we get off the air so we can make it official, damn it. Come on. Hurry up. Get that ink dry, baby. We'll talk about Dusty Baker possibly as the Houston Astros manager next right here on Sports Radio 610. Joined by Wade Smith, that was the lovely Miss Laura Reynolds. Is there anything better than sexy traffic reports on a rainy day in Houston?
You got to believe that there's a bunch of people riding around Houston right now that really enjoyed that segment from Lil Reynolds. So, yeah. You got to love it, right?
Why not? Hell, I mean, real recognize real, right?
It always does.
We thank
game,
you.
Game recognized game.
I'll wait for my check in the mail.
Okay. There you go. You got it, girl.
I ain't cutting no checks. he on my payroll, baby.
Oh, the Houston Astros. Wade, the Houston Astros, there's been so much drama, so much negative smoke around the organization. And they earned it. They earned it. We ain't sugarcoating it. They earned every damn bit. Yeah.
They did.
Yeah. Along with a few other teams.
I want to hear that part. They did it. Okay. We in H-Town. Okay. The Astros did it.
Okay, you're right.
Let's move forward.
You're right. Well, Dusty Baker is believed to be the next Astros manager. And, Wade, I believe that they got this one right. I believe that when you talk about who the manager needed to be in 2024, the Houston Astros. Here, first and foremost, Wade, I think you could have anybody that would have been hired. I believe I saw a report somewhere there were seven managers that were interviewed or considered. Let's say considered. I don't know to what length, but any manager that the Astros would have hired, you would have been able to punch holes in their resume and in their career in some way, shape, or form, right? Somebody somewhere would have been able to do that.
Yeah.
But the important part of this thing is you got to take into consideration where the Astros are right now in 2020 and what the priority is. You've got a very talented team that Vegas believes is going to win 97 games, right? Weathering this storm is of the utmost importance, not figuring out who your manager is going to be for the next 10 or 12 years. Weathering this storm and hiring experience that's weathered storms before had to be the priority for this baseball organization. There's no doubt about it. I love the phrase, who's getting off the bus first and who's representing this organization through these adverse times that there is no avoiding. You can't avoid it. You got to go to training camp. You got to do the press conferences. There's a lot coming down the pipe for this organization that's going to be negative, that's going to be adverse. And all things considered, there's no doubt about it that if that's the number one priority, Dusty Baker is a hell of a hire.
Yeah, he's a guy that checks those boxes No question about it. A guy that's dealt with adversity in the past, a guy that knows how to handle situations like this. He's a fixer. He's the type of guy you bring in when you've had a terrible situation go on in your organization and you need somebody to right the ship. And so now you got Dusty Baker. And I think a lot of people are down on it, and the people that are down on the move is because Dusty Baker has a history of he's an old school mindset. He's gonna go off of his gut. He's not gonna use the analytics. But I find it very hard to believe that the Astros would bring him into the fold and give him free reins to continue along that manner when Jim Crane straight up said that we have a system. There's a way that we do things here with the Houston Astros. And so I would expect that Dusty Baker, I mean, think about it from Dusty Baker's position. Are you going to come in here and try to just completely take over things and rock the boat when you have a team that is already put together to get 95 wins, a team that's already put together that's going to put you in a position to get a World Series, the one thing that he has not accomplished yet in life? It doesn't make sense to me that he would come in and try to just take over things in that manner. So the one things that people are really down on him about, I don't think it's going to come into play. Yeah. I think the thing that he does the best as far as, like you said, taking the shots from the media, being able, because the national media is not going to attack him. We talked to Grant Paulson about that from 106.5 The Fan in D.C. He said straight up, the national media is not going to attack the Astros once that thing becomes official. He's going to take some of the heat, a lot of the heat off of the Astros players and organization.
You said it best. He will disarm the media.
He's going to disarm the media.
And the people that are involved in that are just chomping at the bit for training camp to roll around and for the Astros to step in front of the mic again. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Major League Baseball insider Bob Nightingale was on In the Loop earlier today, and he had a couple of reasons why that he felt like Dusty Baker was a good fit in Houston.
He's been through that. He went to the war with Bonds when Bonds broke the record. All that noise, all the scrutiny, wherever the Giants went, the whole steroid era, Pittsburgh drug trial era, you know, you name it, strikes. So he was there, and he's such a tough guy, and such a player's manager. You know, I think they'll just kind of ride him in his coattails and let him kind of try to deflect all the criticism and booing and taunts again the road.
Yeah, and look, so when that's not for you and me, and I don't mean you and me, Smitty. I mean you and me as the listeners. Like, it's not for you or me to sit here and go, well, he didn't handle that properly, or he made this mistake. That's not the point, man. The point is that the dude experienced dealing with adversity in a way that not many managers has. I mean, when you look at what he's been through, you don't have to agree with how he did it and every word he said at every press conference, but you got to understand there's some value in having been through this a time or two and knowing how to deal with it. And you know what else? I said it earlier, Wade. You got a guy, if that ink dries and Dusty Baker is the guy, you got a guy that can look at the media and go, y'all don't think this is the first time that I've ever done this, do you?
It's not my first rodeo.
Right. This ain't my first rodeo, fools. I've done this before. Don't bring that stuff my way. I mean, there's a certain level of respect that I think that he's earned through the Giants, Bonds, steroids situation.
Yeah.
I don't think that you can manufacture if you were a different manager in baseball. Bob Nightingale also, he talked about the clean record and having a new voice and how important that would be.
Oh, it does. It's like, you know, even like the fans and media, like, okay, I want to challenge the Astros. Well, Dusty's in charge. Let me go a little easier because we love Dusty Baker. And I think it's perfect, too, to have an outside guy. I mean, he wasn't involved at all with the cheating scandal, never been involved in anything like that in his life. So I think it's perfect just to have a new voice. You know, they had to have someone new that wasn't involved with anything. You know, that's why Joe Espada, you know, they did a good job for him. But you couldn't have a guy that was part of that 18 cheating scandal as well. He was right there.
Hey, wait, I'm over here. We're over here talking about these damn Astros and Dusty Baker and how we feel like it's a pretty dang good hire. And this damn text line over here, this text line over here is like, I mean, it's moving faster than I mean, it's just scrolling with Texans talk. I tell you, football is king in the South, ain't it, baby?
No question, especially here in Houston, Texas. And so now you have the big news that came out today that, of course, Bill O'Brien has been named officially the GM of the Houston Texans, and so people want to talk about it. Look, so let's talk about it.
I can't. We still got some bacon to do, baby. You know what I mean? We ain't through with this here. You made a point earlier, Wade, that I want to get to is the analytics aspect of this thing. We heard Grant Paulson talk about it earlier, and we're going to get to that. But motivation is key, man. I mean, motivation is key. I don't know if you got to this point in your career or not, but when you realized, hey, man, I'm on the backside of this thing. I got a few years left. I gotta do things a little differently. I gotta appreciate the moment a little bit differently. I know I did. I did, and I was playing arena ball and playing in Europe and on the backside of my fifth year, the second year I was down in Miami was like, man, I need to take advantage of this situation and not take it for granted. You're talking about a guy in Dusty Baker, man, that's got 1,863 wins, Wade. He will with a 2-year deal in Houston, again, a team with the Astros that's slated to win 97 games, I think was Vegas's over under this year.
Yeah.
The last I saw it. He's averaged 95 wins the last 4 seasons that he's been a manager.
Like don't just run past that real quickly. Like
the 95 wins or the total.
That's legit. 95 years over the 95 average wins over 95 the past wins. 4 years.
Last 4 years he was a manager.
That means something. I mean, this guy, there's people that are kind of talking down on Dusty Baker, and I'm like, the guy is tried and true. He's shown that he's going to put together a good ball club and they're going to play well. The part that people are upset about or down on is that he doesn't use the analytical approach. And like you said, Clint, he's in a position now in his career that he's going to do whatever it takes to get over that hump and win a World Series. He's not going to come into this organization and try to take things over. It just doesn't make any sense. You see, you think about all the NFL players or the Major League Baseball players or NBA players that are late in their career, they go to a different team. They're in a six-man role. They're in a role where they're just coming off the bench to rush the passer. But they're going to do whatever they can to stay in the position to win it all. And they're not going to be demanding and expected to be like it was when they were in their prime. I just don't see Dusty Baker coming in here and acting a damn fool. It just doesn't make any sense.
Wait, I think that, you know, he's chasing the 2,000 wins, and I believe if I heard him right, correct me if I'm wrong, B-Mac, but I heard him right, every manager that's got more than 2,000 wins other than Bochy is in the Hall of Fame.
That is correct.
So he's got that to chase. And he would be the first African-American manager to be in the Hall of Fame, correct?
Yes, that's also
so
correct.
So add that to the list. That's number one more than – I mean, in his mind, he would be more proud of that than anything.
Yeah, anytime that you can be the first at anything, that's a big deal. That's a huge deal. And so, like I said, everything is – like you got to think about it from Dusty Baker's perspective. He's sitting at home chilling. Then all of a sudden, A.J. Hinch gets fired. And then now – the Houston Astros, an organization that's been on the top of the game for the past 3 years, comes to him and says, hey, man, we want us to get us over that hump into a World Series. Right this ship as far as what's going on and with the PR aspect and dealing with this scandal and help us with that. But that's all we need from you. He's not going to come here and say, like, hey, you know what? Nah, this is the way I'm Dusty. This is how I do things. And if, you know, take it or leave it. I just don't see that being the case.
Yeah, well, that's motivation. A big part of the motivation of chasing the 2,000 wins and the first African-American manager to be in the Hall of Fame and a World Series champion. Part of the motivation to change and tweak things. You think he's been living under a rock and he doesn't hear people talk about the fact that the analytics has been a problem of his in the past? I mean, I just, whether we're talking about Dusty Baker himself or we're talking about Jim Crane as the owner in the Astros organization, they would all be fools to come into this situation not without a strong agreement of how they're going to handle things analytically. This is 2020. Every organization that's winning is deeply rooted with analytics.
Let me ask you a question, Clint, because you talk about the way that the Astros do analytics and how they did it in the past. Do you think Dusty Baker, since now he's going to be the manager of the Houston Astros, do you think that Dusty Baker would have played Gerrit Cole in Game 7 of the World Series off of his gut? I mean, maybe you want the gut in that situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because the analytics probably said, and I wouldn't understand if the analytics said that to not use Gerrit Cole, but I know my gut said Gerrit Cole needs to be in the game, so maybe you want Dusty Baker for that type of situation.
Right, wait, there's a the text line over is over here talking. Let me run a couple things by you. One says, and I don't tell me if it's somebody that I shouldn't read. I'm gonna read it anyway. No, I'm saying don't hurt my feelings that way.
No, you're good. Keep going.
You can't ignore his below 500 postseason record with things that went on with teams that went on to win the World Series after he left. Again, I think you can poke holes in anybody's resume that were to be hired. I mean, when you talk about a 500 record in the playoffs, does that bother you? Wade, does that bother you that?
Well, he said below 500 postseason record, but like I said, like you said a minute ago, how many guys that potentially could be the candidate for this job has a better resume than Dusty Baker? If you start picking apart resumes, you're going to lose that argument because Dusty Baker has the best resume of any of the guys that are out there. The only thing that I think you can really come at Dusty Baker about is his ability to make the correct decision in the biggest games, in the biggest moment, and it's because he doesn't go by analytics. He doesn't use that approach, and I think that's not going to be the case this go-around because he understands that that's what's done here in Houston, Texas.
Yeah, you know, I don't, there's another one that says 95 wins means very little without a world. I disagree. Without a World Series, I completely disagree. That means you, that 95 wins means you're 95% guaranteed to get a run at a title. So yeah, it means something. I mean, just because the guys never finished the deal as far as a World Series goes, doesn't mean. I mean, 95 wins is 95 wins. That's getting it done.
I tell you what, man. Just by some of these text messages, I guess AJ Hinch is a terrible manager because AJ Hinch made it to Game 7 of the World Series last year and they lost. You know what I mean? Like Dusty Baker's made it to Game 7 of the World Series before. Yeah. They just lost. It happens.
Well, Wade, you know.
Andy Reid is a terrible coach. He's never won a Super Bowl. Yeah, he's a terrible coach.
There's
thousands and thousands of people that are riding around and be like, damn, I wish we had Andy Reid here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we're like, what are we talking about right now?
Hey, look, Wade, it's when you know where I sit on that. I mean, it's all about a product. And if you're a coach that consistently, or let's say you've done it four or five times in your career, you've got to the final game or you've gotten the final four, or you consistently get into the final eight. Hey, man, you're doing something right. I mean, you're making a lot of noise. I love the Dusty Baker hire with all things considered with what's going on right now in this Houston Astros organization. That adversity's a monster. They got to have a face for fighting that adversity. Dusty Baker's good for it. He's motivated as hell. He's chasing 2,000 wins. He's chasing a World Series championship. The elephant in the room, I think, as we have this conversation, Wade, is the analytics, which you've alluded to a couple of times. We had Grant Paulson on earlier, who is with Grant and Danny at 106.7 The Fan in D.C., covered Dusty Baker for 2 years as the Washington Nationals manager, and he had this to say about Dusty Baker as it relates to analytics.
Yes, I'm sure that he will try to play ball. But at some point, you know, you go back to muscle memory, right? I mean, I just think it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. Dusty Baker knows more about baseball than I do, than you do, than anybody listening does. He's been in this game for decades. I think he and Joe Torre are the only guys in the history of the sport with 1,800 hits and 1,800 wins as a manager. He's done it as a player. He's got some of the greatest stories. He's played with some of the greatest players ever. I just think to have some, you know, mid-30s guy who went to Ivy League school who knows baseball too and studied it in his own way, telling him how to do something. You know, a lot of guys who have been around the game their whole lives don't always play that game. So do I think he'll adapt to some extent? Yes. Do I think in the seventh inning of a ball game when the numbers say one thing and he thinks another, he's going to rely on his gut more often than he isn't? I do.
Here's the point, Wade. It's pretty simple. To me, if Dusty Baker and Jim Crane have not come to an agreement of how they're going to do things analytically, then shame on them. If Dusty Baker at this point in his career doesn't look at the success that the Astros have had to this point using analytics, then shame on him. There's no excuse for Dusty Baker, Jim Crane, any executive in the Astros organization to not check those boxes and consistently check the temperature of the manager, of the organization, and of the front office of how they're going to use analytics moving forward. We talk about, we're sitting here talking, and look, maybe I'm giving Dusty Baker, Jim Crane, and the Astros organization way too much credit. I've been known to do that in the past with another sport. But there's, to me, I just believe that is number one on the list of things to be addressed. I'm not discrediting the fact that Grant believes that there's been problems with that in the past. Totally understand that. But at this point in time with where the Astros are, and this point in time with where Dusty Baker is, if they ain't figured that part of it out, then hell, what are we doing?
Yeah, I think that's the thing that people are missing, is that Dusty Baker's in a time of his life that you're not going to see the same old Dusty Baker. You're going to get an adjusted version of it, and it's going to be a melting pot or a coming to Jesus moment between him and the Astros as far as how they conduct themselves on a daily basis. And at the end of the day, you got to get your players to be at their best. That is a manager's first and foremost responsibility. What can I do with as far as clubhouse chemistry, day-to-day makeup, mentally preparing my guys to play night in and night out, day in and day out? And Dusty Baker does an excellent job of that. And so for that reason, I think it's a great hire.
Couldn't agree with you more, Wade. We're right there in the same boat. He better go win some damn games.
That's gonna happen. I think I could win about 85 games for the Astros if I was the manager. I'm like, hey man, let's put this lineup together. Yeah. And y'all go do what y'all do.
I ain't gonna lie. I'm gonna
rest on my other coaches, my third base coach or my hitting coaches. I'm gonna rest on those guys. I mean, the Astros are so talented, man. It's very difficult for you to make a really bad choice in this case, and I think they got it right.
Yeah, look, here's the deal. I would rely heavily on those around me, excluding the camera in center field. Too early? Too early, guys?
Too soon.
Way too soon. Didn't think that was funny? Too soon?
Way too soon.
Okay, what the hell? Sorry about that. Wade, man, look, I've enjoyed it, my brother. What is today?
Today is Tuesday.
Tuesday. H-Town. I know it's wet out there. It's a little cloudy. Worry about it, baby. You got bigger things to worry about and love on when you get home than the weather and the traffic. Just take it easy. We will see you tomorrow for BMAC Behind the Glass. My man Wade Smith. I'm Clint Sterner. You're listening to Sports Radio 610, Houston Sports Leader. We'll see you tomorrow, H-Town.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.